guys. We are back with the 66th episode of the 443 podcast. I'm frustrated for many reasons, and I'm having one of those days. Reese, how you doing, sir?
Doing well, guys. Happy Sunday. Busy weekend of football. Again, we are not going to be covering tomorrow's game, but we will cover that the following week for you guys as well.
Can we get caught up on the two we missed from Thursday real quick?
Let's do it.
All right. First up, we got Fulham 3, Brighton 1. The cottagers of a sign of things to come this weekend.
Sorry, guys. So just really, really quickly, this Saturday and Sunday games, I was really not able to watch, but I was able to watch these Thursday games, and this was a fun game.
I'm glad you were. I was stuck at the office, and everyone was in a bad mood, and I kept trying to check the scores. People were like, hey, no personal stuff on your laptop or your computer. And I'm like, I get on my phone, and they're like, hey, get off your phone.
I hate those people, man. But this was a very fun game, an Alex Iwobi man of the match type of performance, something that Arsenal maybe missed this past week. I'm just kidding. But no, this was a good game. Brighton was very exposed for the second goal that Iwobi scored. I don't know what was going on with Van Dijk, but hey, I think Hertzler is maybe needing a little bit of a again, these new managers don't have like a December break, so this is very new to them where they're playing games every 2 to 3 days, you know, this whole month going into next month. So I'm interested to see how Brighton goes going forward. What were your thoughts on this game?
I got, like I said, I just got to keep peeks of the score. I was excited. Fulham won.
Arsenal B team. Yep.
Yeah. Well, Arsenal's Eastern team.
Eastern team. Yep. Congratulations to Fulham into the next Thursday game here, guys. We have Bournemouth at home beating Spurs 1-0 by a very chill guy celebration from Dean Hutchison. Puts his hands in the pockets and just stands. That was cold.
I'm surprised Chili Willie didn't steal that.
Yeah, I know, right? Interesting. Yeah.
But he's a Cole Palmer, chill guy. Yeah, there's a way you get to it.
And I just want to say, this was I was very disappointed watching Spurs this game. I feel like Ange has such a clear like idea of how he wants his team to play football, but the quality of his team just continues to let him down, which we'll talk about, you know, the Chelsea game today. I don't think he's going to be at practice tomorrow with the team.
Who?
Ange Postecoglou.
Why?
I don't think that he'll make it to tomorrow, man. I don't think he should be sacked, but I think Spurs fans have had enough after the abuse he got after the Bournemouth game. Did you see that video?
Yeah, but
I'm a boss guy, man.
Well, and what drives me nuts about Spurs fans is most of the time, like, I see them, I never see them saying what they can do to make their club better. It's always like the manager's screwing up and we hate Arsenal. And it's like, I remember when they beat City, they're like, see, we can do it anytime we want. We can beat City anytime we want. When the reason you didn't win the title is because we didn't do what you thought we should do. And I'm like, yeah, but then your manager, like, is obvious that was a schism that may have caused this. Yeah. It's like, you guys have a good manager and you're going to let him go and piss him off. And it's like, because you don't want to win. The Fulham frustrates me, and we'll get into it from what happened later today.
Right, and with Spurs, just before we move on, is like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, you bought Werner, you bought Dragusin, you know, Romero's injured, and Son is not sort of the Son that he previously was because he's getting older in age. And I'm just like, this board is continuously failing every manager that comes in, and every manager has said, the board is screwing me, basically, and go ahead.
Son is also annoying me too. He looks like he used to, when he came to the league, he did that thing that he's still doing now. Well, guy, you're not 26 year anymore, 25. Yeah. You can't act like, oh my God, I missed a shot. Oh, like, dude, you're in your 30s. Knock it off.
Yeah, just move on, brother. Keep your head up. But you know, Mourinho, Conte have all said it, and I'm sure Boss, I'm sure his post press conference he'll probably say something about it, but. But for some reason, these fans keep looking at the managers as if they're the issue. They've had the same core of players on this team for the last decade.
I don't like him, but Gary Neville pointed this out a while back. It's not your manager. It's your board. It's your ownership. Yep. It's the people who are managers. It's Daniel Levy.
Because as I've said previously, and I'm not too sure if you still feel the same way, Matt, but I'm still a boss guy with, and I still think he still has some qualities.
I think that he needs specific players to play his system.
Right.
And they're giving him some of the players, but they're not overhauling the whole team. He's trying to play with a patchwork, and they're cheap.
Yeah. Just final thought on Bournemouth.
But to be fair, I think they're one of the only teams besides City that's like actually pulling in a profit, and it's making their ownership money.
Yeah, but they're also failing their fans while doing it. You know,
it doesn't matter if that's not the goal.
But what do you? But if you're a fan of this team, I don't think you want goals for your ownership. You want goals for your team. But see, this is what I'm saying is everyone made fun of Chelsea what they were doing for 3 years, you know, with Boley and Co.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew what they've had the project in mind that this team eventually will win. But we're going to suffer for a few years. Yeah. I'm not. And United seems like they're heading towards that way as well with the rebuild. I don't know why Spurs, you know, sort of take that initiative too.
Because unlike Chelsea has a lot of rivals. Man United has a lot of rivals.
Indeed.
Spurs realistically only have one rival.
Yeah, maybe two.
Maybe West Ham, but they have a fire high. So Daniel
it's the
Levy,
Reds, it's Arsenal and Chelsea are the two biggest rivals.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They literally bought cranes and sold cranes and wasted all this money, so nothing red will be over their club.
True.
Like, Daniel Levy knows how to get the fans, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful to any of our listeners that may be
Spurs fans.
Republican
people
in the United States, but Fox News knows exactly what to do to cater to these people, and vice versa, so does Trump.
Indeed.
Now, unlike the Tottenham Hotspur, Trump actually wins.
Okay. You know, I was wondering where you were going with that, because you're like, I don't want to offend any Republicans.
Well, no, because
here.
He knows exactly what he needs to do to keep them on side. He knows exactly what he needs to do to keep them placated. But unlike the Republican Party, they don't win.
Yeah. Just final thought on Bournemouth really quick here. You know, they're in a crazy form right now after beating Spurs, and we'll get into the Ipswich game today. They've beaten City. They've beaten Wolves. You know, they're just on great form right now. Try everything you can to keep backing this manager so he stays at your club, because as time goes on, if he continues to overexcel with this team, teams are gonna be chomping at the bit for a manager like Iruola.
Well, Spurs might be looking at him right now.
I follow a.
But I don't think he'll work, just because the problem is that
they don't
churn enough talent into that club. They spend money and then they expect it to last. Like Chelsea spent all their money because they thought a several year transfer window block was coming, and it still may come.
Yep.
But guarantee you, who's going to spend money in January? I bet it'll be Chelsea.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a possibility. What my thing is with the, you know,
you guys need a better goalkeeper.
I am with you, but I don't. Our backup goalkeeper is better than our starting goalkeeper.
Okay, fair enough. I haven't.
We could use a center back. Fofana got injured. Yeah, we had to resort.
And not to
mention
your boy, the most experienced player in your team, doesn't understand how cleats work.
I got to show you a picture when
okay.
we get to
yeah,
Chelsea.
Sorry,
game.
we're pretty foreshadowing the game that just ended.
But just really quickly with Spurs is I follow a not a Spurs fan, but a Spurs avid watcher who is a very big Postecoglou fan. And he said if they do sack Postecoglou, he either wants Thomas Frank or a manager like Iruola. So two totally different styles of football, mm-hmm. but I think Thomas Frank would be a very – he's deserved some sort of upgrade, I'd say, with you know, the time that he's had at Brentford. So – I'm rooting for Thomas Frank. But
into this week.
Let's do it into the weekend here, guys. By the way, Everton-Liverpool was postponed due to a severe storm, which affected the stadium and also traveling, I guess, in the Merseyside. So we hope everything's okay for the Merseyside, Liverpool, Everton fans, and anybody in the area that's affected by it. But first game up here, we have Aston Villa at home, squeaking by Southampton, 1-0 by a John Duran goal. He started over Ollie Watkins today, and he took his chance. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
I got to see parts of this game. I came in at the second half, and I tell you what, Villa was just pounding on the door. This should have been, like, I think maybe 3-0.
Yeah, they were very
unlucky. Their XG was 2.51, but I think I saw two chances, and then you include the goal, and that's 3 XG right there.
And this is definitely a game that Villa on paper looks like it was close, but to the actual eyes, this was a dominant performance.
Southampton didn't have a single shot on target. I saw them do one or two whiffers across the box that could have been considered shots, but they were more chasses to me than shot passes.
Right, right.
Villa had 18 shots on goal, 18 shots, 5 on target, and only were able to get 1 goal.
Yeah, just unlucky. But credit to Villa, that was a great performance. Do you think, you know, with Southampton going into the January, do you think they invest a little bit, or do you kind of just do you think they've at this point accepted that they're going back down? Are you in the Southampton is for sure getting relegated stage now? I guess is my question.
They're bottom of the table now, right?
Yeah.
Well, We saw Sheffield last year try to pull themselves off, and then
with the new manager that came in January.
I think they brought in one or two signings or loans, and that did make a difference in them playing better, but wasn't enough to. If they hadn't wasted the money, they could have they could take it down. I'm gonna be honest. You don't want to be the guy who goes to your boss and says, "Yeah, we're going down. I'm not gonna spend and do anything to try and fix it."
True.
You're gonna try and fix it, but I hope that what they try to do to fix it, it doesn't hamper their plans
for next season.
Come back up next in 2 years.
Gotcha. Credit to Aston Villa. Into the next game here, guys. We have a crazy game here. We have Brentford at home beating Newcastle 4-2. Goals from Mbeumo, Wissa, Collins, and Shade for Brentford, and Isaac and Barnes on the score sheet. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game?
Which game are we on?
Brentford-Newcastle.
Brentford, okay, sorry.
You good?
I heard that our friend had to apologize to the traveling fans for this game. We were talking before the pod, guys, and we're worried about Ange. I think we also might need to be worried about
Mr. Eddie Howe.
Eddie Howe, thank you. His name slipped my brain.
And I've been calling for his head to be fucking on the chopping block since Vietnam.
Well, here's what I'm saying with what Leicester did. West Ham, Newcastle, and Spurs all look like they're teetering on their managers. You need to be the first mover to make sure you don't lose your guy.
Yeah. That's the thing, is it's going to be a manager carousel once one of these managers gets sacked. Because if
then you have to wonder if guys like teams like Brentford, teams like
Bournemouth
would want to sell their managers.
Exactly. And for those two managers alone, you're going to be paying a fee, much like you said last week with Bayern approaching for Palace for Glasner. They may charge heavy, and with Newcastle and this whole ownership situation that's going on where, you know, they don't know where the direction of, the fans aren't sure where the direction of the club is going.
Well, we knew where the direction was going, but just like how Arsenal, Liverpool, and City didn't spend much money last year, there's something going on in the background that the clubs know about that we don't. There's some rules changes or something. Because I tell you what, Arsenal needed to spend money on attackers.
Well, yeah.
And that came to a head today. Where we need more, we don't need a. I'm sorry, I know he's your guy, Raheem Sterling.
He's not my guy, but yes, I got
you. I know, I'm messing with you.
And to your point,
he's now played for all the big six, I think, except for Spurs.
Indeed. Really quickly, I think the rumor that's going on in the background is they're saying that the Premier League or clubs in general, FIFA is looking at no longer having government owned clubs or like teams, owners who are like associated with the country itself, like for example Manchester City and Newcastle, very close to government relations within their respective countries.
Chelsea was before Tom Boehly came in.
Exactly. But more like these, but for example, who owns City, like he is directly associated with Saudi Arabia or not Qatar.
No,
Newcastle is Qatar.
Newcastle, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab the Qatar is PSG. United Arab Emirates owns
City?
Man City.
Okay.
A prince associated with the country.
Yes.
From the UAE.
Right. So that's what I was getting at.
Please don't kill me. I had a bad day.
The FIFA, they'll end it early for you, man. Day's over at that point. But FIFA. FIFA.
That's true. Okay, yeah.
FIFA, that's what I've heard they've been taking a look at, which will be huge for club football. But credit to Brentford. This was a crazy game. Yeah.
But, so you said, is it the Premier League or UEFA? Or FIFA?
That part I'm not too sure on. I've heard Premier League, and I've also seen a tweet that said FIFA, so I'm not too sure. If it is Premier League, I think it should be effective for PSG too, because those are like really those four or five clubs.
PSG, Girona, Manchester City, Newcastle. I mean, and then City has their tentacles in every continent.
That's true.
Except for Antarctica. They own 55% of this club, 55% of that club. They own New York City Football Club. I mean, but then that's the problem. See, now you'll look at it because Todd Bowley's trying to build out his infrastructure. Nottingham Forest guys trying to build out his, and Red Bull,
already doing their business.
Yeah,
as well.
So it's like, okay, so you need to explain why you're doing it for Group A and not for Group B.
Right. I think that's totally fair. Shout out to your dream that you had a couple weeks ago, RB London.
Yeah. I tell you what, man, that more and more seems prophetic to me.
It's low-key. Like, it's definitely a possibility in the future at this rate. But credit to Brentford, guys.
Well, but the thing is, they own Leeds. They own a controlling interest in Leeds, like 40% of Leeds.
They have to pull out.
They have to sell that.
Yeah. You never know, man,
in this world. Ready to get into City Crystal Palace?
At home, Crystal Palace drawing Manchester City 2-2 in what was a Rico Lewis giveth and a Rico Lewis taketh with a beautiful goal upper 90 and a breakaway, but
did you
through.
See any of this game?
I did. Not a red card for Rico Lewis to start.
It wasn't a red card, but you see how they were just pounding him into the ground. They were just throwing him around like he was a rag doll for the entire game. Then he gets his goal, and then I step away to change a load of laundry, and I get a text from you as I'm trying to get in the door going, that was something that was a red card. Yeah. This is BS on Rico. And I go,
I was like, rare refs going against City moment or something.
Yeah, that's what you said. And then I come in, I see, oh goodness, now it's 2-2 and they're down a man and Palace is just gunning for them.
Yeah.
And they were just pushing poor Rico around. It just, Crystal Palace is doing what they needed to do. Pep's trying something new. And I get why he's mad.
What frustrates me the most about City right now is, you know, we know how, like, we're all saying it's predictable the way City are playing, but what makes me the most mad is he's not making those adjustments that we think he would be making by now.
I just don't think he has the personnel right now because they're left with a lot of the players that aren't, like, Doku and Grealish, and I'm going to ask you a question about Jack in a little bit.
Well, I that's what I wanted to bring up is he's playing Mateus Nunez at left wing, which I understand you want to bring balance if you're going to bring Rico Lewis all the way up into the midfield like you have, but you have no creativity on the left side with Mateus Nunez. So why is he not starting Jack or Doku? Because they both were subbed on in this game. I don't know.
I think just like when Arteta struggled with some of the players he got rid of to the other Premier League teams, they're okay, but he just wants better. But now he's just having to rely on these guys, and he just doesn't think they can do what he needs them to do.
Gotcha.
Like, to me, Doku is like the guy, the cherry on cake of a perfect City team. Because he doesn't give them what they need defensively all the time.
Right.
Jack is more of the guy like a Declan Rice, who's the guy that, honestly, I don't want to go into my stoppage time question, but they gambled on a few guys, and now they're having to rely on those gambles to save them. The guys
I see what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They can't play their version of total football.
Yeah, and these are
He thought he could train them, and he can't.
Yeah, because he's basically made these purchases with the thought that he could, you know, turn them into these monsters.
He could shave off the rough edges, teach them what they needed to know. But both those guys have been here a year or 2 years now, and they haven't learned. They haven't improved.
And I think Doku has room to prove. He's a young player, but for Jack, like I guess we'll get into it later. Yeah. But he is a player where he's not a Pep signing. You know, to be honest, he doesn't seem like a type of guy that can change his game that much to fit that Pep system. So I'm excited to hear your stoppage time question. As for Palace, they basically did what every team has been doing against City, which is allowing them to have possession, counter on the break, and they executed beautifully for the Munoz goal in the
They exploited Rico Lewis's inexperience to create where the other guys just had to pick up the slack and they couldn't do it the whole game.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. I think Rico Lewis put in a 6 or 7 in terms of this game.
Yeah, for sure.
But he was the point that they just kept putting extra pressure on him that he just couldn't handle.
Yeah. And that's the thing with the physicality in this league is you need to beef up a little bit. But credit to both sides. This was an entertaining game. Into the next game here, guys. We have Nottingham Forest visiting the Field of Dreams, walking away with 3 points, beating Manchester United 3-2. Onana, let's start there. I don't know what happened. Did you see the end of the game? Like how he was like putting the ball up and he's like throwing it like 30 yards in front of him. Ref's like, you got to move it back. He's like, okay, 25 yard throw instead. He's like, nope, you still got to move back. He's like, fine, 25 again.
So I saw this thing of the top 6 teams on Instagram, and they had the top 6 teams, the players that are world-class. And I've heard Manchester United fans on other platforms and voices saying that Onana is a world-class keeper. And many of them said he's better than David Raya. And that's up to your interpretation, but like, you know, Raya has made mistakes in his first half season with our three quarters of a season with the team.
Yeah, like the first.
I think he's doing better now, but
yeah. The first few months of Raya's career was shaky because the whole benching with Ramsdale was a lot of drama there. But then after that, comfortable.
But, like, Onana makes his mistakes all the time.
Yeah,
and I don't like is it your defense? Like what? Like he maybe is he world? He's either world class or he's just a good guy behind the sticks.
Yeah, I think he's still a good player behind the sticks, but he is a totally different goalkeeper than what we saw at Inter. When he was at Inter, he looked near unbeatable, and now the goals that he's conceding are almost like just a lack of confidence. And it's like me watching Robert Sanchez play out of the back for Chelsea, like today especially, like.
And I've seen some of Sporting, and he doesn't look like the guy that they had at Sporting, the kind of keeper they had.
Which keeper?
I don't remember what it was, but he just doesn't play.
Which keeper?
I don't remember which keeper. Whichever, I don't remember the players that are playing. Sporting's keeper.
Kerr, keeper.
That Arsenal put five past just recently. I watched him a little bit off and on because when the Premier League appears on like Sling, I watch Sporting games. As I want to become a fan of a Portuguese team, and Sporting's a team I kind of like because I like green. It's a good color.
You should become a Celtics fan.
That is the most metrosexual thing I've said on this podcast. But I like Sporting. They were a team on the rise, and their keeper doesn't play like what an Amarin system keeper looks like to me.
Yeah.
Honestly, Bert Leno kind of looks more like the player they have, but then again, he's probably playing within the system that he has and the budget that he has within the Portuguese league.
Right. And I'm thinking, like, if Amorim is trying to rebuild this team, you know, is Onana one of those guys in question after you've spent so much money on Onana? It was like 68 million. So,
you know who would play like a Lisbon, Sporting Lisbon keeper?
Who?
David De Gea. good shot stopper.
Yeah. Decent with
his
feet.
Can decent with feet, can roll with his hand, the ball to the players in the back line so they can build up their play, the back three to the five, you know. Yep. And I'm like, they should have just put him on the bench.
Yeah, and like the deflected goal and then the error leading, like the pass out error leading to goal. I think this game was completely on Onana.
So
personally,
I had to go to the grocery store during this game, and I got hungry at the grocery store. So instead of buying extra food, I decided to order Chili's for pickup on my way back.
Smart man.
Guess where I was when the 47th minute goal went in? I was at the Chili's to go waiting for my text to go in to pick up a Big Mouth Smash Burger.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man.
Chili's, please.
We're waiting for you. Yes. I was really impressed with Forest, but I think I'm just more disappointed in this United side in this game. I wasn't like overly infatuated with what Forest did, but they did exactly their job and they executed their plan well against Forest.
They just did enough to keep ahead of them, and it was United's game to lose, and they lost it. And it's like, I don't know what's going on with it. Like, I can't tell if United fans are just taking the piss with this because they talk about Amorim like they're their serious team. And they're ready to go bust heads. And I don't think you're going to bust heads till next season. I think that
it's the fans too, like, that are saying it. And Amorim has said in like every interview, he's like, we are not good. Like, we're going to be, he literally said, we are going to be bad. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And he has been saying that. And these fans are still saying like, oh dude, title charge is on.
Yeah. I will say,
I see, you know, you beat Everton 4-0. It's an impressive victory, you know, throttling a great defensive side, you know, and you get a bit of confidence. But Forest is not one of those pushover teams as we've seen this season. You know, this has been one of the best teams in the
Arsenal
league.
Too, and a depleted Arsenal in that. Like, they put a back lineup against United that was almost as bad as the one they put up today.
Yeah.
And you still couldn't beat them.
And the United fans are saying, like, we lost by two corners. No, you didn't. Like, you did lose by two corners, but you lost because you could not exploit their defense.
No.
They gave you the opportunity to capitalize on their basically backup defense with Saliba, I think.
Defense with Saliba with Yurian Timber. They had
the right side.
The right side was their original defense, and then they had Kivior and Zinchenko on the left.
Basically,
on a side that is this Arsenal's weak side, they put two of their weakest defenders out there. And you guys couldn't exploit them. And then in the final 30 minutes, the reason you lost is because they kept crashing into you, and the only thing you could do was kick it out for a corner.
Yeah.
And I hate, like, the guy from Ted Lasso was sitting with Expressions, who's always on his show. You know the guy I'm talking about?
He keeps saying Ted Lasso. I only think of Ted Lasso now.
Well, he was the African-descended gentleman of the three fans at the pub in Ted Lasso, who's always nice to Ted when the other guys are trying to be dicks.
He's actually on like these footy shows.
He's a huge Man United fan. Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Okay. But he was saying, he was just like, what was he saying? He was just like, they should change the rules to stop you guys and all this stuff. And I'm just like,
yeah, I've been seeing, I'll cover you for you here. Cause I mean, again, guys, side note, we are fans. I do hate Arsenal. Matt hates Chelsea, but we are cognizant of being neutral to each other. And what I will say about Arsenal is, you know, you guys can criticize, and I guess I'll get into my question for you now. Credit to, we'll jump from the Forest game. Let's go to Arsenal Fulham. Arsenal draw at Fulham 1-1 in the game today. So, yeah, before we jump into other stuff that happened with Arsenal and the draw, you know, we'll talk about that in a moment. About the corners, if you guys can't stop the corners, that means you are playing probably, and this is my question to you, is this one of the greatest corner teams, offensive teams we've ever seen at this rate? Because if they continue scoring corners at this rate, you guys will be far and away, you guys will be the best Sean Dyche team I've ever seen. You know?
Yeah, like, and I don't even get mad at the Stoke thing. Like, the commentators were saying, it's like, oh, they're Stoke now.
What?
And
I'm like, what? That pisses me off, man.
Yeah, it pissed me off too, but then I realized it's like, oh, they, like, Gary Neville creates these shithousery talking points and dispenses them to everyone else. And because it's like you're relying on a troll to set the narrative, you should be looking at, like, why are Arsenal having to do this? They're having to do this because these teams basically create, like, literally most of them park the bus in front. Fulham got their goal, and then they parked the bus today. And what did Arsenal have to do to smash that down? The team, they constantly hit waves of attack. The ball gets pushed out, so they get a corner.
How
You'd
is that
a fool to not?
How does that equal terrorist football, guys? Like, how does that, if you are pressing a team and playing possession football in the final third, and the team if it gets saved in for a corner, how was that on Arsenal? Why is that Arsenal's fault?
So here's a brief little window we had. So we've had Arsenal's had massive injuries. One of the few games they had about 90% of their team on the pitch was the Sporting Lisbon game.
Yeah.
And the West Ham game, they put in 11 goals in three periods of football. Yeah. I've never saw Stoke put in 11 goals in. I've never seen a Sean Dyche team put in six goals in 135 minutes. Have you?
No, I haven't. No.
No, you haven't. Because then after the West Ham game, they got more injuries. They lost. Zinchenko's hurt. Calafiori's hurt. Gabriel's hurt.
Gabriel, who is basically the Erling Haaland of corners right now. Yeah. Guys. So your point is still invalid, by the way. Like,
my point or their point?
The fan, okay. Sorry, not yours. Yeah.
And it's just like, Arsenal's a team that people want to hate because they're afraid to criticize City. The media is based, a lot of the pundits come from Liverpool and Manchester United. They won't talk trash about Man City because they're afraid of getting lawyered. They don't want to talk trash about Liverpool and City because they are a lot of former the people players. In there are former players for those teams.
And this is why I have a problem with Sky Sports employing these guys because, you know, what I like about NBC Sports in America is the guy with the glasses, both the Robbies, the white guy with the glasses.
Oh, yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah.
I forget his name every time, but they talk ball. They're not afraid to
Tim Howard looks worse when he's sitting next to Gary Neville this weekend.
Exactly.
Rebecca Lowe looked worse when she sits next to those two Man United guys when she does her other show.
And this Gary Neville guy, he's like he was giving credit to Chelsea and he's like, even though they've spent £1 billion, like, dude, just give them credit where it's due, because City's done the same thing for the last decade, you know? Like, it blows my mind with former players who are just unable to let go of their opinions or
like
biases.
I like the Robbies, but I've started listening and I'm trying to, but sometimes it's painful for me, especially when my team has a rough weekend, to go out and find a Tottenham podcast, to go out and find a Chelsea podcast, to go out and find a Liverpool podcast, because other, like, you need to get these voices, these guys like the Arsenal Vision and Andrew, Arsenal podcast. I want to find the guys from other teams for those teams, because it's like I get nothing hardly when I watch NBC. I get a little bit, but when I watch Sky, I don't get a lot. I get some guy who comes in with a narrative and then the other people push it and decide to pick on somebody. And most of the time it's an Arsenal fan.
Yeah. And like,
except for that one lady, she was on one of the things and they were talking about Mo Salah and she goes, well, Mo Salah, well, this isn't, sit your ass down. I would have kept my mouth.
I'm so happy she got completely ignored, man. Because if someone would have heard that or like caught it and be like, what do you mean, Bukayo Saka?
Yeah, what do you mean? Like, no, we're talking like You cannot say, like, Bukayo is the second best right winger right now in the league. Wait a minute, is Cole Palmer right winger?
He's a 10 now. He's playing in the attacking midfield role.
So he's playing the Odegaard side. Okay.
Yeah, he's no longer a winger.
Okay, but when Cole Palmer and Bukayo, like, I put Cole at 3, Bukayo at 2, and Mo at 1. And until Mo leaves and then Saka and faces off against whoever his rival is and can build his own legacy, he's not going to surpass Mo.
Indeed.
Okay, we've gone all on tangents because I'm in a bad mood about
Arsenal.
Game, Arsenal played like shit.
So why? Tell me why. Let's get into it. What was the difference? What did Fulham do? Like you said, they basically got their goal. What happened in the goal? Like, was it a counterattack?
It was a counterattack.
Okay.
That was one of those ones, like the same with West Ham. They came out of no. Arsenal was playing too high on the line. They got beat by speed. Ball went in, and then they just smashed up against the Fulham wall for the next 60 minutes. I thought they had the goal, but whoever was offsides was clearly offsides. Tom's like, do you think they have a chance? I go, no, if they're sending it for VAR review, this goal is getting pulled back because whoever that is, I don't know if it was Saliba.
It was Martinelli because my friend texted me. He's like, I'm so close to being done with Martinelli after that offside thing. But
Well, he kept doing this shit today where he kept throwing the ball at people and panging it on the ground. I go, you're not freaking Mo what's his Holland's first name?
Erling
Haaland. Oh, yeah. You can't get away with this stuff. You don't have the billion-pound lawyers to protect you. Dude, just knock it off. Yeah, you're in a bad patch. We're all in a bad patch. You need to get your head right and get in the game. I was annoyed with Martinelli. I spiked one of Paco's toys when he threw the ball and got a yellow card. Paco looked at me like, why are you throwing my bear? Why are you throwing my bear, Dad?
You tell me to go
chase him. Dad's mad.
And I'm sitting here, I was not able to watch this game, but it seemed like Fulham was very organized defensively in their low block. And
they're a good team right now. They're in that level of Bournemouth right
for
now.
For sure.
Where
tough to beat.
If you don't have your A game, they're going to hurt you.
Yeah.
And Arsenal was not playing their A game. I mean, I remember who was playing next to, they had to flip Timber over to play on the left wing so they could play Thomas Partey on the right wing.
Jeez.
And as soon as I saw Partey starting, I woke up 5 minutes before this game started. And I was like, this is going to be a shit day.
And Partey's had some good performances previously.
Well, he has, but we needed him in midfield because then we're moving too many pieces around. Because now we're relying. Mourinho is either, they think he's a bit player or he's hurt and he's nursing an injury. I don't know what it is. But I thought that if I go, with Partey moving back, then we'll get to see. I go to the different midfield and I go, we'll get to see Rice, Odegaard, and Marino then. And that'll fix things.
Yeah.
But then I see Jorginho. And I'm not mad at Jorginho. Jorginho did his job.
He's been doing well the last couple weeks.
Yeah, he did his job. But I just don't know what the plan is with this team right now. And I know it's because everyone's hurt. If we had Calafiore Day, we would have won.
Yeah.
Because we rely on our fullbacks to be our ball progressors, to help with our ball progression. And Jurrien Timber can't do it all on his own because now that you're exploiting somebody who's playing out of position, it's creating all sorts of problems with us. The Arsenal, if we had our starting 11, Arsenal would be second right now, but probably would be 3 to 4 points behind Liverpool.
Gotcha. Interesting game here. We'll have to see who they play next in our predictions in the second half
of this. Everton. Just kidding. Sorry. They do play Everton.
Man, spoiled it for our fans here. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Into the next game here, guys. We have a late, late victory for Bournemouth, who traveled to Ipswich and won 2-1. Goals from Unal in the 87th minute and Utara in the 95th minute to capitalize over Chaplin's early 21st minute goal. Late comeback. Matt, talk me through the emotions.
I didn't get to watch this game because I was watching Arsenal. My dad just kept texting me, I think your mom's going to lose it. She was like, she texted me, Bournemouth are too good. This is bad. And why did you guys not win? You needed to win. Chelsea are going to win, and then you're going to be in third.
I think that's a very great summary of this game.
Like, yes, Mom, I think that all is going to come to pass. The only thing that happened was that Tottenham decided to play with my emotions for about 30 minutes.
But as you said, they're Robin Hood, man. So they had to give you some emotions there. But yeah, guys, I wasn't able to watch any of these games, but credit to Bournemouth.
Bournemouth had 3.5 XG.
Okay, so it was more of a dominant performance.
Yeah, it was more of a dominant. Ipswich was just trying to hold on to their one to get a point or to get a 1-0 win. Bournemouth was pounding on the door. They had 22 shots, six on target. Ipswich had 18-5, but Bournemouth had the 10% more possession, and they outpassed them by almost 100 passes.
Gotcha. Credit to Bournemouth in this game. Into the next game here, we have Leicester at home, drawing Bournemouth now 2-2. A very late Bobby de Cordova read, 91st minute equalizer, and then Jamie Vardy also scored in the 86th minute to tie this game. Again, Brighton, I'm getting a little bit worried with the form here in the winter, and winter's not even here yet. You know, we're still not even hit Christmas, so.
No, I think it is here, Reese, because a winter storm.
I'm just waiting for Unai Emery.
Destroyed two stadiums.
I'm waiting for Unai Emery to hit his signature good evening. You know, that's when I know it's winter. But,
Liverpool is under, like, water and snow, Reese. The North is having trouble.
Like, all right, my bad. Winter is here, and it is coming for the London clubs now. My bad.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be honest with you. Like, I know you mean the philosophical winter, but the real winter is here.
Indeed. But credit to Leicester in able to pull out a draw from an early lead that Brighton had, to be able to come back two goals down for a newly promoted side against for a team that's been one of the best teams in the league this season. You take this all day.
Well, Leicester has weapons.
Yeah.
And I just think that who's the guy that took over from Ruska again? The ugly guy? Sorry.
Cooper.
Cooper didn't know how to utilize him.
They've got a sexy, sexy, attractive Dutchman, Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good looking guy.
I've seen that video of like when at his old club when he was like dancing in like the middle of the locker room. Dude's got some moves, man.
Still move them hips for an old man?
Telling you, brother.
Okay. But credit, no, he's playing attacking football. Cooper was playing defensive football. He's taking them back to something like Maresca had. I just don't understand why they hired Cooper. Yeah. You had a team that was built for attack, and then you throw a defensive-minded coach in there. I would have gone for – you're going to be in a relegation fight, but you need to use what you have, and what you have is attack.
Yeah.
I saw a couple games in the championship. Leicester are no slouches, man. They're just as good as Ipswich in the championship.
For sure.
And you need to go with what your strengths are, not with what you think you need. Because you don't have enough defenders to do defensive ball in this league. You need to punch people in the mouth and get a bunch of draws. That's what you need to do.
Ruud, we are happy for you. Credit to Leicester. Brighton, we are starting to ask some questions about the winter time frame with you guys, but we'll spare you this week. Into the last game here of the Sunday slate and of our reviews, we have Spurs at home losing a thriller to Chelsea 4-3. Dominic Solanke got on the score sheet early. Kulusevski followed up. Chelsea were 2-0 down inside 20 minutes. I was ready to crash my car on the 101 freeway here in Phoenix. I was ready to drive it into a wall, so I didn't have to watch the rest of this game, but I stuck pride.
I didn't. I wanted Spurs to win this game, and I didn't bother you, did I? Rub it in. I was trying to be a good friend because I know you want to win.
And I just woke up when you're like, I'm rooting for Spurs. I'm like, oh, God, it's going to be a long day, isn't it?
But I didn't like overly root for them, did I? Like, did I was just go, hey, just in my heart. My heart's with Tottenham
I'm
right
cool
now.
I'm cool with it. Because
they were in 11th place, and now I don't know where they might be in a 13th place or 12th. I don't know where they are.
The biggest praise that I have for this, or two praises, is one, resilience for Chelsea, but two, Enzo Maresca deployed Caicedo as a right back, but basically the Zinchenko role, for the side, or a Partey role as he had today. And it didn't work in the first half. And what he did was he took Romeo Lavia off, who was arguably the best player for Chelsea on the field. It was a brave substitution, but he went back to bringing on Gusto, a traditional right back. And that's where you saw Chelsea really start to exploit Spurs. And I texted you before the game. I did not like our defensive setup at all. So
we talked about it in foreshadowing. What was going on with Cucurella?
Yeah, so, I'll show you the picture. So Cucurella has since thrown his shoes in the trash. But basically, for some reason, you, as a player, you warm up in the cleats you're going to play with, the boots mm-hmm. you're going to play with. It was obviously starting to rain outside. I think he knew that. You're telling me he didn't slip at all in pre-training or had any sort of uncomfortability? He is basically the reason Chelsea conceded those two goals. And right after the second goal went in, he came to the sideline, switched out his boots, and ended up playing pretty decent. But yeah.
I'm just, like, he's the most experienced player you have on your team, right?
Indeed.
He's a new Dub.
In that
Silva,
starting,
right?
Yeah, in that starting 11, he is the oldest player, and he's like 26.
But, again, he's won a Euros.
Yeah.
Like, Come on, man. You've been in England for like 7 years now.
London, especially, is a very rainy area.
Well, he came from Brighton.
Exactly.
Another huge rainy area is literally on the coast of England. I've been to Brighton. I didn't see the sun after I left. I literally left England. It was London. It was sunny. I'm looking out the window of the train, sipping on a coffee. Hot coffee, and as I watched, I crossed a line somewhere, and then I didn't see the sun again until I left to come back to New York City.
That's awesome. I was very questionable, and it wasn't just Kukure. I mean, he was the reason they conceded those two goals, but Benoit looked uncomfortable.
Why was he what happened in the third one? I completely missed the third goal for Spurs.
Third goal. Let me see. I have to remember who
scored. Scored it.
Yeah, third goal was when we were up 4-2 and they had a corner set piece. They played it short, played through. I think they juked out one of our players and squared it to Sun for a tap in.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a great set piece corner, though. But then Cole Palmer decided to wake up a little bit in the second half. Jadon Sancho scored our opener in the second half, which really got this team going, but I was taken through a roller coaster in this game, man. And it's like this.
I didn't have a horse in this race, but even I was just like, you shall not pass. Like, I texted you that because every time Chelsea got the ball, I was just like, they're going to score in the last half. It just looked like it was going to be a game.
Well, and it takes me back to last year when Chelsea visited London and
Romero went down. That's when everything changed for Spurs
as well. Yeah. But last year when Chelsea visited Spurs, the two red cards from Spurs, it was a crazy 4-1 game, but it really could have been like 2-2. But I'm tired of playing Spurs because they always just give us a hard time.
Everyone's tired of playing Spurs, man. The Robin FC, you don't know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
Any of the top six fans or just other five fans are just tired of Tottenham Hotspur.
Let's talk about Postecoglou a little bit more here. As we said, if we are looking for a new manager, I think Boss should stay. I believe in his project. I believe in his system and what he's trying to deploy on the pitch. But I don't think when you lose your fans and your fans are calling you names after you visited Bournemouth and you lose, you're at some point your ownership's going to take notice and give the sack. But I will say the ownership has to take accountability as well. I'm not a Spurs guy, but I do feel bad for Spurs fans as a neutral in this because they've been
I don't think you and me are technically neutrals in this because we're Chelsea and Arsenal fans.
Yeah, again, guys, we fucking hate Spurs, but yeah. Like in terms of just, you know, the good sense of football that we're used to seeing from Spurs, it hasn't happened in a while. And
as a human having compassion for another human, yeah, exactly. I really feel bad for Spurs fans.
Exactly. But hold that on your foreheads. Chelsea, London is going to continuously remain blue, at least in that part of London, just the border because we didn't beat Arsenal, but maybe we'll have to revisit that. But credit to Chelsea in this one. Matt, do you want to take a break or do you want to jump right into
Let's jump right into it because you just gave me another stoppage time question. But let's get into here so I don't forget it.
Yeah.
Week 16 preview, 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, we have Everton come to the Emirates to face Arsenal. Not the early game, but not the early game.
You'll take that, man. 8 a.m.? All these games at 8 a.m.?
I got 2-1 Arsenal on this.
I'm going to go 2-0 to Arsenal. I think it will end up being comfortable, but Everton are a tough defensive side to break down.
Yeah, they're probably going to score two more corners, and people are going to post a video of that guy singing the song about corners and have a good laugh.
Yeah, they're going to say Everton has been done dirty, and, you know, Arteta's a terrorist. Arteta-terrorist. There you go. I'm tired of it. But, 2-0 to Arsenal for me. What's next game for us?
Next, we have Ipswich at Wolves. I got 1-1 on this one. I think that Wolves are in a bad spot. Ipswich they're the new Luton Town, I think,
yeah.
From last season.
I agree. Wolves continues to confuse me. I feel like they're the opposite of Spurs where, you know, they have games where they look really good against certain sides. Then, like, most games, they've just looked horrible. So I'm going to go with a 1-0 win to Wolves, but if they lose this one, it might be a while before I pick them again, honestly.
Gotcha. All right, next up we have Leicester at Newcastle. I got Newcastle winning this on their home ground 2-0. They gave Liverpool a hell of a game. They still have their home field, St. James's Park juju.
For sure.
I think they're going to knock Leicester around.
Must win game for Eddie Howe because right now Newcastle are 5-5-5 on the season. If they go 5-5-6 or 5-6-5, I don't know if he makes it to the following week. But I agree with you. I'm going to go with a 3-0 win to Newcastle.
So the last of the 8 a.m. games is Fulham at Liverpool. I got Liverpool winning this 4-1.
Yeah. I wonder when the Liverpool Everton game will be rescheduled too, because that will be important for their title run.
This is why everyone was like, Arsenal and Chelsea have to win today, because you have to put the pressure on Liverpool. They're going to have a game, and then that game is going to come whenever they get a break. It'll be like, and you want to take that break away from them, because it's either going to come
beginning of January.
Yeah, it's going to come somewhere in there where they. Because they probably expect to go far in both the cups, and they expect to go far in the Champions League. There's going to be something that happens where if they fall out of like
Europa League.
Sorry. No.
Is it the Champions League?
No.
It is Champions Liverpool League. Liverpool is in the Champions League. Yeah, they beat Real Madrid.
They're winning the Champions League.
I'm thinking
League
of
right
Spurs.
Now.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
And any free midweek they got where they were going to lose it to this game. And that's why you need to keep the pressure on them. Because if you get the free week, you need to take it. Because. Yeah. I mean, you guys don't really need it, but Arsenal did.
Yeah.
Because you can literally rotate your entire team for. I think you can win with your C team in the Europa Conference.
Throw out the teenagers, man. Get all the 18-year-olds in there. I'm with you, brother.
You should just pull back players from your low knees and play all your low knees. But, yeah, Liverpool's just going to trounce. I think they're going to make mess a fool. And they're on 2 weeks rest now.
Yeah.
I mean, they play Champions League on Wednesday or Thursday. I don't know.
It's a weird thing, though, with taking breaks, because it may hold up their mojo a little bit in the focus, but I agree with you. What I will say is Fulham have looked good against these better sides. So
yeah, they may give us some juju. I don't know.
I'll go 3-1 to Liverpool, but I would not be surprised if Fulham pull something out of the water.
But it's at Pool. That's where...
Yeah, exactly.
That's what gives me... It's gonna be a 2 or more goal win for them.
Fulham's last 5 games, draw, win, draw, loss, win. So right now, they are due for a loss based on their last five games, so...
Now we go into the 10:30 a.m. game on Saturday. We have Villa at Forest. I'm thinking this is going to be a 2-0 draw. 2-2, sorry. 2-2
draw. Gotcha. This is going to be a fun game. Definitely going to watch this one if I'm not freaking busy for a Saturday. But I'm going to go with Villa here with a Forest ups. Or I'm going to have Villa beating Forest here. I'm going to go 2-1.
Okay.
I think they pull it out. And Winter, he's going to say good evening because it's going to be 10:30 here, which means it's basically nighttime in England. Thank you.
Okay, Porky Pig. Are you ready to move on to
Sunday?
There's one 7 a.m. game. It's Palace at Brighton. It's the Derby. I forget their name of their Derby.
We'll call it the Coastal Derby.
Well, they have it. It's like the Route Something Derby because it's the named after the road that goes right to from Crystal Palace, Southern London and dead ends in Brighton.
We'll call it the Mandem Derby. And the Mandem. Sorry.
But Palace at Brighton, they're traveling south. I think Palace is going to win this one.
You think Brighton continue their slump?
Well, they're slumping, but they're slumping in a way where they're doing enough to get a draw. And Palace has been getting draws too, but Palace has been the aggressor.
Yep. I don't know where I want to go with this game. Both very interesting managers. I love Hertzler and Glasner. You know, two different styles. But I am going to go with a 1-0 Brighton win. I don't know how they get it. I don't know how they hold off Palace, but I see 1-0 here. Sort of my out-of-the-blue guess, I guess.
Well, it is a home game for them, so I can see that happening. Yep. All right, so then we move into the 9:30 a.m. We have a Manchester derby. Man U is traveling to the Etihad, to the library. I think City's going to get their juju back, their mojo. They're feeling it. They're going to win this 3-2.
Yeah, this is a weird game to me, man. I feel like if City loses, all might fall down. You know, the they burn down the library, no more books for the Manchester kids on that side of the field. But
my mate from is an Arsenal fan from the UK sent me a video, two clowns having a knife fight in a parking lot, and said Manchester Derby on underneath it. That made me think that this is what they're getting to. Because, like, have you seen repeat, like, reporters have baited Pep on the street and he's like had to have his hand
hold
him
that
back.
Was after the FA Cup final, actually. That was not people are posting at the wrong time.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, no, we need context in this world, and we're not getting it.
But I think...
Who do you got?
Yeah, this game is interesting to me. I think if City lose this one, it's really bad for them. So I'm going to go with the City win 2-0.
Okay. Then we had 2 noon games, which is really odd placement of these games Sunday. Spurs at Southampton and Brentford at Chelsea. Let's go to Spurs at Southampton. Who you got this first one?
Yeah, I don't think it matters who is the manager of the Spurs side.
I was going to say the assistant coach and acting as Stencia is going to win this 3-0.
Yeah, so I'm going to agree with you, 3-0 to Spurs.
And Brentford visiting. Oh, Thomas Frank visiting Chelsea. What you got on this?
Chelsea haven't beaten Brentford since 2021.
It's a proper East London derby.
3 years, Matt. 3 years. Yeah. So this is definitely not a cakewalk.
Brentford fans proper hate you guys. Yeah. I still think that Chelsea's going to win this, but I don't think it's going to be easy. I'm predicting a 4-3.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be much like this fucking Spurs game where I'm just sitting here just all stressed.
Yeah, you're going to be stressed because like the clubs around you really hate you. Yeah. Fulham is a weird one where their fans kind of are just sipping wine in the terraces.
They got the hot tub in the building.
Yeah, but Queen's Park Rangers and Brentford really hate you.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This is a must-win for Chelsea. I mean, every game is a must-win for every team, but considering that we haven't beaten this team in 3 years, it's kind of pissing me off. So I'm going to go for a Chelsea 2-1 win, I don't know.
I think the what's going to change is that you have Maresca, who is all attack all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that you're going to win, but I think that Thomas Frank is going to give you it's going to be a slobber knocker.
Shout out, Jay.
I'm going to say, by God, he has a family a lot during this game. All right, but we do have a Monday game. Monday is West Ham at Bournemouth. I think the Chairs are going to win this 3-0.
Yeah, I think this is Lopetegui's last game as a West Ham manager. I'm going to go 3-0 to Bournemouth. Loba. Yeah, I'm going to go 3-0 to Bournemouth, too. Also, prayers up to Michael Antonio from West Ham and the accident that he was in. A very scary situation there, but we are hoping for his recovery.
I know you got to go to your sister, help your sister, but let's me get my stoppage time, one of my questions out of the way.
Yeah.
So you said that London is blue or red or whatever. I think what we need is...
the specific part between Tottenham and Chelsea.
So MLS has a couple of regional cups that you win based off of how the two teams face each other in the legs.
Right.
The Cascadia Cup, the El Treja Cup in Texas. California has one. It's going to get bigger now. They have two teams in LA, San Jose Earthquakes, and now San Diego FC's coming in. London needs one of those cups where all the London clubs face each other, and it's not a major trophy. It's on the level of a Carabao
Cup. But like a level below a Carabao Cup.
Yeah,
like where you could play
the shield. It's a shield, but it is something like where if some team like, let's say Brentford, comes in like 10th, but they beat and draw a bunch of their local teams, and all their points come from the London teams.
I think that's a great idea, Matt. And I'm thinking of it like how the NBA does their in-season tournament, where they just include it in their matches played, so you still have to play your best players.
That's what they do in MLS.
Yeah, so I think that's a great idea. You know, have the London teams.
I mean, it's a weak trophy, but it is still something you could put in your silverware.
And there's pride to it being
you can say London is bees or London. We really have a London is
exactly.
This. Because like everyone is always like the debate is between Arsenal and Spurs fans is Arsenal's got more league cups than you. Even if you count your Champions Leagues as two cups, we still win by one.
Yeah, and you have more trophies overall.
We have more FA Cups than you. Like, but everyone's just like, oh, one is blue, one is red. Just make it year on year. Just
include it in the matches, man. Yeah. Put a trophy at the end.
London, maybe London will be lily white.
Yeah, I'm cool with that, man.
Yeah,
let Spurs have some fun, man.
Yeah, let Spurs and Fulham and somebody have a trophy they can compete for.
Exactly, because that'll just make those games more meaningful and give the fans something to appreciate.
I mean,
as well.
It will be not as important, but because it's like, everyone's like, well, then the North will need a trophy.
London's the capital of
the league is in London.
And London is the capital of England. So I feel like that makes sense as well. Matt, what is your other stoppage time question?
You don't have one for me?
No, I do not. Okay. My stoppage time question is...
So we kind of danced around it. Is Jack Grealish at 100 million euro or pounds a bust?
Yeah.
Because even when they won the treble, he seemed to be the one in the front celebrating it. He didn't contribute as much as other players did to it.
He is the most protected $100 million player I've ever seen in my life.
It's because people like him.
Yeah. But like, for example, Enzo Fernandez, Moises Caicedo, they're more than happy to drag their names across
the Declan Rice. People were throwing him out there like, oh, he hasn't, for $100 million, he should score all these goals. And people are like, well, what about Jack Grealish? Oh, well, that's a different.
Yeah. It's like,
that's different because he's with City.
100% he is.
It's because people like Jack Grealish. People don't like Declan Rice. Yeah. People don't like Moises Caicedo.
Yeah.
Other teams.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, if you told me I had to sit on a plane with one of the City players,
Jack could be that guy, man.
Jack could be the guy because I hate every other person on that team. And even the worst person you sit me next to is their goalkeeper, their third string keeper.
Ortega?
Yeah, who's always like partying, like the last guy out of the club.
That's pretty cool, man. Yeah.
I don't know. He seems like a piece of shit because he won't admit that he has all these awards and he's literally played 30 minutes since he came to City in competitive play or something.
Hilarious. But yeah, I think he is. But you know, he's 27 now, and if you're spending that type of money on someone who's 25, 24 at the time, you expect them to take that step at least. He has only regressed in this Pep system.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, man. You send him back to Villa. Villa needs a left winger because they play Johnny McGinn there because he's the Swiss Army knife, I like to call him. I think Jack Grealish would be beautiful in that freaking Villa side.
Here's the teams that he would not excel in. Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester City. You throw him into any of those other teams in the league. He would be their star player.
And you know why? It's because they're not these calculated systems. You know, they're
Man
more...
United wants to be a calculated system. Oh, you throw him on Spurs?
Spurs,
oh,
he would cook, brother. God. Spurs, he would cook.
Him and Madison, there's your son replacement right there for a couple years. But I feel bad for Jack. He is a bust, and everyone protects him. Even I've protected him.
Yeah, but it's because we like him, though.
Yeah.
It's hard not to like Jack.
Yeah, he's basically the Chris Evans of the Premier League, there man. You want to put your arm around him.
Give him a hug.
If he gives you a little kiss on the cheek, you're going to smile.
Exactly. And on that note, folks, on Matt's cheek kissing, we will wrap it up there. I have to help my sister move today. Matt has a printer to fix. We do hope you guys have a good rest of your Sunday.
You really effed up my weekend, guys.
Matt, close this out.
All right, live long and watch some football. And HP, get your S together.